May peace be with you. If you stick around at the end, there's more information about our community and how to find us. And now, here's this week's Centering Scripture, followed by the sermon.
Our scripture reading for this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew 6:25-34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet our God in heaven feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your lifespan? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, won't God do so much more for you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry. Do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed, your God in heaven knows that you need all these things. Seek first God's reign and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. Here ends our reading.
Well, good morning, everyone. This is not how or where I had planned to deliver this sermon, but as our staff shared at the top of the service, our whole family is now passing around some type of stomach bug, which is getting the best of everyone, and so far only threatening to get the best of me. But either way, it was not a wise decision to come in this morning and potentially expose the rest of our staff and tech volunteers to whatever is working its way through our family. We do think it's a stomach bug and not COVID. Our at-home tests are negative, but we'll keep an eye on things and we'll continue to test as well. So with that out of the way, I'm gonna now turn to the almost comical act of preaching a sermon on this passage about not worrying. And that is almost comical today, of all days, given our family situation, but also today, of all days, given the state of our world, the state of our democracy, the state of the pandemic, and so many great, complicated, and heavy things that are weighing on us all and causing so many of us to worry. Are we supposed to take this passage and truly get out of it the call to not worry for the things of our lives and the life of our world? That is often how this passage is lifted up and described, as this great theological testament to what it might look like to have such faith and trust in God that you can let go of your worries. At least that's how it's often described. Perhaps you've heard it pitched another way by this simple maxim, let go and let God. In fact, I imagine that many of you have heard and or said that statement yourself, because it can at times be a helpful and even healthy theological concept. The act of letting go of things, particularly when they are outside of our control and influence, can be an important and healthy way to release some anxiety or worry or guilt that is not doing anyone a favor. And maybe, at a very simple level, that is exactly what Jesus is advocating for here. I myself, instead of focusing on worrying about what kind of illness we have and whether our staff would get sick if I bring it in, I could let that worry go and instead choose to record this sermon at home and send it in. I can let go of something I'm worrying about and focus on what is in my control. But boiling it down to let go and let God can also be a bit problematic for a couple of reasons. First, that is so much easier said than done, right? I mean, we are living through incredibly complicated times right now. And there are big, important, weighty things in the world that I do worry about, and I know that so many of you are worrying about too. As a parent with young kids, with unvaccinated kids, it's hard for me to let go of the worry about whether they'll be healthy and what risk they may be exposed to at any moment. Even while I am focusing on those things within my control, that's hard to let go of. I worry about the state of our democracy. I worry about climate change and the climate crisis that is already unfolding in our midst. And though I try to do my own part, it's still hard to really let those things go. Second, in addition to it being easier said than done, as I've already hinted at, for those of us who are in a place of some comfort or privilege, and especially for those of us who do have some agency in the outfolding outcomes, this whole worry not business, this whole let go and let God concept can lead to a shirking of responsibility. If I feel such worry and fear about the climate crisis that is unfolding that I simply check out and don't consider how my own lives and rhythms and choices add up to and impact our climate, then I'm shirking my duty. If I get worried about the big national narratives around politics or what a president or former president may be tweeting, I may just give up rather than finding ways to be engaged on a local level where we have a lot better of an opportunity and chance to make an impact. When we let go and let God, while not tending to those things that we can care for, that we can influence, I don't think we're living up to what Jesus is talking about here. And I certainly don't think that we are being faithful. So what is Jesus advocating for? This is one of those cases where I think it is helpful to step back and look at the life and ministry of Jesus before diving back into the scripture. You see, Jesus was not one to be devoid of concerns and responsibility. He is one who thought about his calling and the unique influence that he would have on the world really often. He cared immensely for others and often considered how his own religious teachings and the practices of the day would ripple forward and affect others and affect their children and their children's children. I have no doubt that Jesus worried, or at the very least that he worried about the fate of others from a place of care and responsibility and calling. But here's the thing. Jesus had a way of being immensely present. Throughout his life and ministry, Jesus is constantly attuned to the needs and opportunities that are at hand around him. In fact, I even believe it was one of his special, unique gifts, divine or human. We see that time and time again, despite lofty expectations, complicated religious politics, and the weight of his own divine calling, Jesus remained present to the needs of the moment, to the needs of the day and to the needs of those around him. When unexpected individuals stepped forward in need of care, Jesus would stop what he was doing and bless and tend to them, no matter the outcomes or the politics that may emerge from healing someone that is within or without the religious circles of the day. When large, hungry crowds emerged, Jesus didn't worry about whether there was enough or the precedent that was being set. He instead focused on gathering what was at hand and then finding ways to share it forward. When Jesus' rules of love felt hard to navigate, he suggested that we begin by loving the neighbors and siblings that we can see in order to practice then loving the God whom we can't see. Jesus had this special ability to tend to what was within his control and influence, to be present with the moment, with the current need at hand, and to leave tomorrow's worries for tomorrow. His ability to take the next right, faithful step, that is one of the special things about Jesus's life and ministry. And if we do take his life and ministry as our guide, then it's my belief that Jesus is not calling us to live naively or divorced from the cares of this world. Instead, I believe that Jesus was urging us to let go of worrying about the future in order to focus on directly engaging with the present. Don't spend so much time in your head about uncertain outcomes that you miss the clear, certain opportunities that are within your reach this moment. Though we often overlook it, Jesus is pretty clear about this dynamic within this very passage. It ends with this line, "So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." If all we take from this passage is worry not, we are missing Jesus' call to faithful action. This isn't about letting go and letting God. It's about letting go of those things far beyond our control and letting God guide us faithfully in the work of today. Today's trouble is enough for us to engage with responsibly and compassionately. We have things that are within our control and influence, and when we focus on doing those things, in addition to living faithfully and to our hopes for the world, often we find that our worry and anxiety may decrease along the way because we're finding a productive way to engage. This dynamic is doubly important to remember here and now as we prepare to honor the life and legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. tomorrow. Despite the popularity of his well-known quote that the arc of the moral universe bends towards justice, King actually never took that bending towards justice for granted. When Dr. King was arrested in Birmingham, Alabama for participating in a civil rights demonstration, he pleaded with people of faith especially, to reject the myth of the inexorable progress of time. He wrote, "It is the strangely irrational notion that there is something in the very flow of time that will inevitably cure us of all ills. We must come to see that human progress never rolls in on the wheels of inevitability. It comes through the tireless efforts and persistent work of those willing to be co-workers with God. And without this hard work, time itself becomes an ally for the forces of social stagnation. Justice is not inevitable to Martin, but he does believe that it is achievable if we are willing to tend to our share of the work today. Because tomorrow's possibilities and worries, they will be born of the work that we do or neglect today. The arc of the moral universe will bend towards justice if we join in the bending. Now, that's not something that we can achieve all in one day, perhaps not even all in a lifetime. It's certainly not something that we can achieve on our own without intersecting with the lives and stories of others. But it is still ours to shape and to share, just like Martin and just like Jesus. Now, I want to end this sermon with a prayer that is affectionately known as the Oscar Romero Prayer. It was composed by Bishop Ken Utener of Saginaw, Michigan. And it is a prayer that is written in the honor of the calling of people of faith and has since been attributed to the legacy of Oscar Romero. So hear now these words from the Romero Prayer. It helps, now and then, to step back and take a long view. The kingdom is not only beyond our efforts, it is even beyond our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a tiny fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. Nothing we do is complete, which is a way of saying that the kingdom always lies beyond us. No statement says that all that could be said. No prayer fully expresses our faith. No confession brings perfection. No pastoral visit brings complete wholeness. No program fully accomplishes the church's mission. No set of goals and objectives includes everything. This is what we are about. We plant the seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything, and there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something, and to do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for God's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are workers, not master builders, ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future not our own. Friends, my short summary of this beautiful prayer, my personal mantra for these uncertain times is this: plant the seeds you will not live to harvest. Why? Because we can. And because it's worth it, and because often that's simply the next right step to do, the next faithful, the next compassionate step along the way. Plant the seeds you will not live to harvest. And if you were one who loves that let go and let God quote, then I'll say again, we should strive to be about letting go of those things far beyond our control, and letting God guide us faithfully to the next right step. Take care, everyone. We will as well. Amen.
As a church located on Lakota land in Minnetonka, Minnesota, St. Luke is a joyful, inclusive, intergenerational, and compassionate community on a spiritual journey seeking to do justice, make peace, and to walk humbly with God. We invite you to join us live for virtual worship each Sunday morning on Facebook or YouTube, or by following the worship links on our website, stluke.mn. Thanks for listening. May you go in peace.